In the last few weeks, we have been looking at the suffering of Jesus. Jesus suffered immense physical pain and immense emotional pain. At the Passover supper with his disciples, Jesus alone knew the weight of sin that would be suffering and snuffing him out the next day. Jesus washed the disciples' feet, not to make them clean, although that was a part of it, because their feet had become dirty in getting to the Last Supper. But primarily, he washed their feet to teach them to serve one another. And if there's anything we can learn from that, it's to serve one another in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next, we saw Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's where he took Peter, James, and John with him. He left the others on the outside of the garden, but he wanted Peter, James, and John to go with him and to pray as he prayed to the Father. But three times he prayed the same prayer, and every time he came to those three disciples, they were asleep. And so for three times, the Lord talked to the Father, prayed to the Father, by himself. And he wondered why those disciples couldn't just pray with him for even 1 hour. It's possible that Jesus prayed for 3 hours, but he wanted the disciples to pray with him, but they couldn't do it. Pretty much of a tragedy. So he asked the Father during that prayer time, if it's possible, let this pass from me. But he always said three times, not my will, but yours be done. Can we copy that in our own lives? Not my will, but yours. Can we give ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that we follow his will and not our will? Today we're going to look at another aspect of what Jesus went through as he went to the cross and died for us. It was both sad, and it was glad. In John 1, 11 through 12, he came to those who were his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So the sad part is those who rejected him. The glad part is those who received him, believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thousands of years before God had chosen the Jews or the Israelites as his special nation, God provided land, he provided blessings and prosperity for the Jews as long as they followed him. But sadly too, they chose to go their own way. And that's exactly what's happening today. People are choosing to go their own way instead of staying tight with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? Why are people leaving the church instead of staying with the church? Well, The reasons that they give are interesting. Personal experience. They pray and they don't get an answer as they think they should get an answer from the Lord, and so they just quit. 10 years ago, I got drop foot. Drop foot doesn't get any better, it gets worse. And I probably have prayed every day, awful close to it, that the Lord would heal my drop foot. But the Lord keeps saying, no, I'm not going to do that. My grace is sufficient for you. So what should I do? Should I leave the church? Should I leave the Lord? Because he hasn't answered my prayer. He's answered a ton of other prayers, but he hasn't answered my prayer for drop foot. And so I walk around like an idiot and pray that someday I'll be able to walk like a normal human being. Others leave because they're looking for some sort of information from other religious groups. They think maybe they have the answer to everything. And of course, they don't. And then there are those who leave the church for psychological reasons. They feel guilty about certain things, and they feel like if they get into the right psychological situation, they will no longer feel any guilt. Well, you don't have to feel guilt in the Lord Jesus Christ because he forgives us of every sin and every shortcoming. And then there are those who are leaving the church because of scientific materialism. I don't care how you look at it, how you cut the mustard, there's plenty of scientific evidence for the existence of God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so those who live for scientific materialism just want a way to get away from God. And so they use that as a means of getting away from the Lord. That's too bad, but that's the way it is. And we have quite a group of people today who are leaving the church. And those are just a few of the reasons that people give for abandoning the Lord and going their own way. God promised to the Jews that he would send a Messiah. The Jewish title for Savior or ruler to Israel is Messiah. Jesus was a Jew, born of Jewish parents, born of the kingly line of David. Jesus was their Messiah, but the Jews refused to see it. They wanted a political leader. They always wanted a political leader who would deliver them from Rome. That was part and parcel of their thinking. They just could not get over it. They thought that Jesus Christ would be a great political leader. They didn't see him as their spiritual mentor. They didn't see him as the Son of God who came to deliver them from their sins. They wanted a person who would deliver them from the Roman Empire. And that was simply not going to happen. The purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ was not to deliver anybody from the Roman Empire. It was to deliver mankind from their sins and to give them the hope of eternal and everlasting life. The Romans allowed the Jews to have religious freedom. That's one good thing about the Romans. There weren't many good things about the Romans, but they did allow the Jews to have religious freedom. This was overseen by the priests and the religious leaders. They saw themselves as the elite. They believed that they were the priesthood who loved above all to rule over the people. Too bad. They should have been delivering the people into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. But instead, these religious leaders were misusing their position. We have that today in this world too. Rather than helping people get to know God better, they were using their position for their own benefit. They believed that, boy, I am important. I am a really important person. And that's how they lived their lives. Jesus saw their hypocrisy, and they hated him for it. That's why they were constantly trying to figure out how to get him killed. In the end, these religious leaders were the ones who were determined to have Jesus killed. That's all there was to it. They're the ones Judas had gone to and said, hey, how much will you give me if I show you who Jesus really is? Oh, well, 30 pieces of silver. Well, I'll take that, and I'll show you who Jesus really is. Let's look at what happened just as Jesus finished praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's found in Mark 14, verses 43 through 46. Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared with him. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs. And from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the others. Just think about that for a minute. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal for them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Rabbi, and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. This is crazy. They were treating the disciples like they were some kind of terrible terrorist gang. A mob is what some scriptures say. A mob composed of people with swords and any kind of accoutrement that they could find. A club, a pitchfork, whatever it might be. And they felt like they had to have all of this to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, why didn't you arrest me when I was speaking at the synagogue? I was there every day teaching. You could have arrested me there. But no, you wait until Judas betrays me. Wow. This crowd was sent by the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. They all had gotten together. And they were only concerned about how they could get rid of the Lord Jesus Christ, how to murder him. These were their own ways, and they rejected the Lord. They led Jesus like a hoodlum to be tried by the religious leaders. This was the Son of God, the innocent Son of God, who never committed one single sin. And then the scripture says, those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. Can you think of a more evil group having assembled together? They were looking for false evidence. They were so excited about false evidence that they had false people come and give false evidence, looking for false evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. But they did not find any. Isn't that interesting? Though many false witnesses came forward. Emphasis on false witnesses who came forward. Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. There's a reason for that. These religious leaders wanted to get rid of Jesus so badly that they were looking for false evidence against him. They didn't want the truth. And that's where we are today in this world. Nobody wants the truth. That's why people leave the church. They don't want the truth. That's why people are so broken. They don't want the truth. They'll do anything to stay away from the truth. They didn't want the truth. Ironically, they could not find any credible witnesses. They found all kinds of false witnesses, but they couldn't find any credible witnesses. During all of this, Jesus did not say a single word. That really upset the high priest. Why didn't he say a single word? Because of what Isaiah 53:7 says, "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent." So he did not open his mouth. Never said a word. What would you do? You'd immediately try to defend yourself. I think that's what we would do. But not so with the Lord. He wasn't interested in defending himself. He did what the scripture said. He didn't say anything. And then in Matthew 23, Matthew 23:63-64, the high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Well, Jesus now said, "Yes, it is as you say." Jesus replied, "But I say to all of you in the future, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Majesty, the Mighty One, and coming on the clouds of heaven." Why did Jesus speak at this time? Why did he keep his mouth shut all the other times? And all of a sudden, when the high priest asked him, when Caiaphas asked him, he opens his mouth. And he says that he was the Messiah. Why did he do that? Because of the scripture. There's a scripture that says when you are asked for the truth with that oath, that you must, if you know the truth, you must give an answer to the truth. And so in Leviticus 5:1, he declares that he knew the truth. And he gave an audible answer. It was considered to be a sin if you didn't do that. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ could not commit a sin. If he committed one sin, his sacrifice at the cross would not be valid. So the high priest used this oath to demand that Jesus testify, and the Lord Jesus Christ did testify. Jesus could have remained silent, but if he had remained silent, he would have committed a sin. So he followed exactly what the scripture says. He was silent as long as he could be silent. And then when the high priest asked him, according to this oath, he answered. So Jesus had to answer Caiaphas, and he said, yes, it is as you say. Jesus answered him truthfully. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to quote Psalm 110:1. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. This psalm is about the Messiah. Jesus was not only claiming to be the Son of God, he was claiming to be the long-awaited Messiah, their king and their original high priest. And then in Matthew 26:65, the scripture says, then the high priest tore his clothes and said, oh, he has spoken blasphemy. We do not need any more witnesses. Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? Well, he's worthy of death. That's what they were looking for in any case. He's worthy of death, they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, prophesy to us, Christ, who hit you? Talk about rejection. That's exactly what happened to Jesus. Jesus experienced rejection over and over and over again throughout that entire day. Possibly the worst rejection was from those religious leaders who should have known better and should have supported him. But no, they didn't do that. And that's what happens to many of us. Those who should support you don't. They just don't. How hurtful was it for his own religious leaders to call for his death? Wow. There are other scriptures. He came to those who were his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The Jewish leaders had a choice, for or against, just like we do today. We have a choice. We can either love the Lord or we can reject the Lord. Listen to these thoughts in closing. Jesus felt pain, so he understands our pain. Jesus felt rejection, so he understands our rejection. Jesus felt loneliness, so he understands our loneliness. Jesus felt sorrow, so he understands our sorrow. Jesus felt sadness, so he understands our sadness. Jesus was mocked, so he understands when we are mocked. Jesus was misunderstood, so he understands when we are misunderstood. Jesus was broken, so he understands when we are broken. Jesus was humiliated, so he understands when we are humiliated. Jesus experienced unjust trials, so he understands all our unjust treatments. What will you choose today? Reject Jesus? Or believe and receive him? Our hymn of invitation is, Lord, lift your name on high. You have that opportunity right now to either reject